There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of Get the Belt Podcast. And I'm your host, Miles, and this podcast is home of Melanin Magnificence and Kingdom of Belts, where any motherfucker can get it, especially after this Valentine's, okay? Right. As you can see, we're somewhere new. We've got a cute little sign. It's my favorite color, green. Shout out to my nanny. And I'm joined for our first episode back by a special guest by the name of Derek Carter. So we are joined by the fabulous Derek Carter, who's come all the way from the States. Say hello, Derek.
Hey, everyone. How are you? Super glad to be here, by the way.
Wicked. So you are also CEO of an underwear brand called Carter Wear.
Yes, we are. For men and women, and, you know, we're still the new kids on the block in the grand scheme of things, but...
Are you the new kids on the block? Because I feel like I saw Carter Wear on my Instagram, on my timeline, a few years ago. Like, yeah. It's been about...
So it'll be 5 years this year.
Okay, so in the grand scheme of things...
We're still new to kids.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I stand corrected. So obviously it is, I don't know about in the States, but here in the UK it's LGBTQ History Month or LGBTQ Month. And so I wanted each episode of this month to have someone from the community here. And am I correct in saying you're part of that?
Yes, you are.
Alphabet Zoo, we love to see it. Which alphabet letter are you?
So I'm the G.
G. Okay, period. Gay. Love to see it. Ooh, the game that we've got at the end is going to be fun. And not only are you black and gay and out and proud, but you're a business owner. And I feel like we rarely see, and I speak about this a lot on the show, black gay men winning at things that aren't predominantly entertainment. Like you studied on our little Instagram live we did. You told us about how you studied, you got your papers, and you've really put paper to pen and did the work and have a brand that is based in the States and able to be at the point where you're now here in London town. Right. With your pop-up shop, with customers like me. I'd never met you before, didn't know who you were, but I know about your brand. And I'm a little old me on the other side of the world. Like, that's magnificence to me. I think that's great. So round of applause to you as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I really do. But yeah, I mean, that's just a testament to like all the work that me and my team have put in to make all of this happen. And it's still a very surreal moment that I'm humbled by and still try to take in every step of the way. But yeah, it's kind of unbelievable. I literally, you know, like I said, shared with you my academic journey of just studying marketing, studying finance, and studying like supply chain. And I literally didn't know what to do with all those degrees. It didn't make sense. But now I feel like in this point in life, like, it makes sense. And everything I've ever like studied for, like, I use it on a daily basis. So yeah, the foundation of the company, of it, all of this is like a lot of just business studies and marketing, which is super important.
And you guys market very well.
Thank you.
Very well.
Thank you. Yeah, that's it. All lives in my head. So all the campaigns, everything we roll out from day one, it's all in my head.
I feel like I'd be good in the campaign. Have you seen my Instagram?
I have.
Have you seen the ass?
I have.
Period. Look, I feel like it would look.
I think so. Yeah. I was shook. I said, okay. It's like,
We'll talk about that after. We'll talk about that after.
Definitely.
Earlier on, you said that things weren't making sense, like what to do with all of these like degrees. Now, if you were in our live, you would have seen or heard me say to you, one thing I didn't get was after receiving the video of you in your suit. It wasn't a suit, but you had like your smart shirt on and you were so like, not that you don't, you can be well-spoken and be, you know, the CEO of an underwear brand. But, you know, I was just like, I didn't see the sense and like how this guy that seems so together and composed and reserved and quiet and calm and tame was like the CEO and face of Carter Ware, which is not that at all. It's not reserved. It's very much proud, loud, confident. There are nude tones, which we spoke about, the tones that you wanted to bring, like the colours and stuff, which, you know, they're not bright fluorescent colours, but they're statement pieces.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it until you liked one of my pictures on your personal account, because I only had the brand's Instagram.
Yes.
And then I saw Derek's Instagram. And then everything made sense, because, you know, you was giving face, legs, and hips.
Body.
And
body.
So the body is bodying Derek.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, the double D's are here, and It is what it is. I mean, it's all I call it a love letter. Like, each post that I do for Carter Ware is my little love letter just to show all the supporters of the brand that, like, I'm willing to be front and center. I'm posting along with everyone else.
Yeah.
And even though, like, you know, I might have on, like, a formal shirt, like, everyone has different sides of them. So, you know, it's one thing where you may see me in the office.
May I ask what you have on right now?
Just boxer briefs.
Just boxer. I don't want to do too much. I've got some good questions about all of that shit. But boxer briefs, okay. Yeah,
you know, it's a boxer brief kind of day. It's a little chilly in the UK. So.
Yeah.
I need a little bit of fabric.
It is cold. It is cold. So before we get into, you know, more details about Carter Ware and you and your journey, we're gonna start off the show as we normally would do. So all the old like Get the Belt podcast listeners would know we always just say, how was your week? Obviously, you've just got off of a flight yesterday.
Yesterday morning.
How has your week been, Derek?
The week has been really good. It's been busy, honestly speaking. I'm still in school as well.
You're still studying?
Yeah.
You just said you didn't know what to do with all the degrees you had. So what are you doing getting another one?
So I'm getting my doctorate degree.
Oh, period.
But I did not want to stop the journey. Like, if I start something, I'm going to finish it.
Ooh.
So so I have to.
Yes, Derek.
I'm at the end of it. So I'll be a doctor by June. But I just need to continue on the journey. So it's been a struggle between meeting homework deadlines and preparing to come here.
And how old are you?
I am 32. I'll be 33 this year. So
same age as me.
Yeah.
We look good.
We do.
We look good. We do. Well, just a quick, like a side note on looking good. Now, you must have heard of the saying, black don't crack.
Yes.
I disagree with that.
Yes.
I believe, it's my personal opinion, contrary to popular, you know, belief, I believe someone racist made that up. And they want to fool every black person into not moisturizing because you're black and it won't crack. Because black cracks. Have you seen Morgan Freeman?
I have.
Is he cracked?
Well.
Okay. And I bet he's been saying black don't crack. He's probably stopped saying it now.
Yes.
Because, you know, but black does crack. Continue to use your serums. Continue to use your moisturizers. I would shout out some of the serums and moisturizers I'm using, but the brands aren't paying me just yet. But when they do, I'll tell you. But yeah. Black does crack if you let it. So stay moisturized, stay hydrated. But yeah, no, we look good. You look great, 32. What month?
Thank you. You do
what
as
month
well.
Are you born?
December, some Sagittarius.
Oh, yeah. I was in love with a Sagittarius. Yes. Love that song.
I love that song as well. So yeah, you know, I'll be 33 this year. So I'm just taking it as it comes and hoping that these fine lines stay fine and not, you know, get too deep. Yeah. But yeah, that's about it.
Good week there. So your traveling was all good and
traveling was good. It's a pleasure walking through a different airport for once.
Okay.
So it's definitely a major difference between like US and UK. But yeah, overall positive experience. So I can't wait to come back, and I haven't even left yet.
I know. You only have 2 days, right?
3 days.
3 days. Okay. So was there lots of preparation this week, or was everything done up prior? Because obviously you're here for the pop-up store as well, which is happening tomorrow.
Yep. Tomorrow from 12 to 7. So yeah, we spent the week preparing all of our inventory and all of our marketing. But you know, there's photo shoots that are happening. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of different initiatives that were happening this week. So it's been crazy.
And so I asked you about your week. Obviously, yesterday you were traveling, but yesterday was Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Did you do anything? Did you have any FaceTimes? Did you get or give or both dick at some point? Like,
No, my time has been really geared around getting ready. I wish I had another exciting response, but no, I mean,
you ain't going on in your DMs or in your iMessage that you're seeing. No. Are you single?
No, so I'm actually, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, this is like breaking news for everyone.
Come on, breaking news.
But yeah, no, my Valentine's Day was pretty chill. I didn't get a chance to do anything special because I was coming here. Okay. So, but yeah, I will make up for it when I get back to the U.S.
I mean, you did say when you start something, you're going to finish it. You
know,
so, listen,
that's true to the core of who I am. Yes. So, you know, I can designate all my attention to that once I, like, get back home.
Lit.
So.
Well, my week was good. My Valentine's Day was a bit shit, can't lie. Things went really off the walls, and I tried to save it at the end. But have you heard of the saying, you know, you can take horse to war, but you can't make the bitch drink.
Yes.
And yeah, my horse wasn't drinking shit. My horse was not wanting to drink shit. And I had tried and tried, but I'm not gonna break my back trying to force the thing. But other than that, I got to spend an evening in the penthouse, which was stunning, alone, but the views are great. And I've had so many auditions before this podcast recording. I was breaking my back for Mrs. Doubtfire. Yesterday, I was singing my throat out for Rent, the musical.
Yes.
The day before that, I randomly went on stage for the Book of Mormon. I don't know if you know, but I was in the Book of Mormon in the West End for a long time. I haven't done that show for like 6-7 months, and they called me back to be like, come. And literally just before you came in here, my agent had called me to say, can you be at the theater tonight? They've just had someone go off injured. I said, no, I've got a podcast to do, girl. But how much?
I know. Listen, never turn down the check. Right?
But they've asked me if I'm free tomorrow. But, you know, I'm booked tomorrow. But if they sort out the fee, maybe I can change something up. But we'll see.
But by the way, congratulations on all of your success when it comes to...
Thank you.
Yes, because when I tell you it's not easy, yeah. I've tried that in my life, and it's not my ministry.
Before.
I've tried. Then well, I realized
that makes
you
sense
know,
with the creativity in car to wear.
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of that, it all aligns at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to highlight that. Like, congratulations. That's really, to hop back into that and not miss a beat is a big deal. So
I mean, there was one beat I did miss, and it was the head, but they changed that choreo with this new cast.
Okay.
There's part in the show where they go, well, in my cast, in my years, we would go, we will listen to the fat white guy. But this lot go, we will listen to the fat white guy. So when we're in this little circle in the center of the stage, everyone did it later. And I was the first one to do that by myself.
Gotcha.
So sore thumb. But it was quick. It was quick and over and done with. But otherwise, every note, every harmony line, every bit of choreo, I ate it.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I was proud of myself. And I did post on my Instagram a long video where I was bigging myself up. And I've never, ever done anything like that. And I was scared people were going to think I'm bragging. But I was fucking bragging. And I deserve to brag.
For sure.
And have my own little, not Kanye moment, but talk my shit. Because it's always all promote other people, big up other people. But I felt like what I did the other day could be seen as big-headed. Or it could just be seen as self-affirmation and another form of self-love.
Yeah.
It's not like I go around doing that every single day.
Right. But sometimes you have to remind yourself.
Yeah.
You have
to remind yourself. These niggas because they be sleeping on me sometimes.
And that's the one thing you can't let happen.
Never.
No, I still got it.
Wicked. Well, let's jump straight into word of the week. Even though you've already fucking inspired us with like your age and what you're doing and how you've manifested this brand and now you're in London doing your big one. But what is your word of the week this week, Derek?
We've got the word. We've got the word. We've got the
I would say the word of the week is just free. F-R-E-E. Okay. And this is a little deep, but I'm...
We love getting deep on the podcast.
I'm at the point in my life where I'm freeing myself from things that used to hold me down or scare me or allow me to feel some type of, like, bondage. Not in the sexual way, but you know.
Yeah, no, I wasn't even there, but now I'm... Yeah, so I'm with you on that.
Giving yourself permission to be free to be yourself.
Mm.
Giving yourself permission to...
In what sense do you mean by giving yourself freedom to be yourself?
Meaning, sometimes I feel like we hold ourselves back when it comes from fully expressing ourselves. Okay. Even as adults, like full-grown adults, because maybe you're apprehensive about what others may think or how people will react to it. But I'm just kind of at the space in life where I feel like it's okay to do those things and fully be yourself and, like, live in who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. That's why I think, like, free is the perfect word to, like, describe that. So I've been on that journey this past week and really just kind of, like, letting go. And
do you mind sharing with us, like, what happened that made you have that inner conversation with yourself about I'm gonna start being more free? What triggered that?
Really, this whole experience of a pop-up tour we're doing for Carterware, I felt a sense of, I felt a sense of just being not compromised, but not fully being like who I would want to be when it comes to being with the company, well, creating the company, if that makes sense. So to elaborate, I felt as though I wasn't fully expressing myself when it comes to, like, how we do our marketing, how we do our photos. Everything was kind of very contained. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to, like, flip the script and try something different, you know? Blur the lines between masculinity and femininity. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of things that I'm discovering within myself and allowing myself to freely, like, express that.
Yeah.
So, hence, you know, some of our marketing now blurs the lines a little more than they typically do. You know, we all have those two sides to us. But yeah. I feel like, in a sense, sometimes it's not always celebrated in the space, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like a high-level way of how I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, no, it's funny you should say that. And because I think I'm on my way to having that realization. And I feel like I've had that realization once before, and I feel like we can have realizations and probably the same ones over and over again in our lives, because, you know, we're always learning, we're always growing, we're always becoming different. So if you're becoming a different person every few years or every few months or whatnot, then you will probably... Then you will probably... If you're becoming a different person every year or every few months, then you will have to get to know that part of you and then let it happen and let that be free with that. And if it's something new, you can't just, well, maybe some people could discover something new about themselves and straight away do it, but you'll always be learning more about yourself. And then where, depending on where you are in your life and the social circles you're in and what job you're in and what stage and etc., you'll find out if you're able to off the bat just be that. And I'm finding that I'm in a point in my life where I'm not able to be who I am because of certain situations, and I want to free myself again. And yeah, so it's interesting that you should choose that for this word of the week. That has definitely resonated with me, and I hope it's resonated with any of our other listeners. Do you have any, like, recommendations of how you can do that?
I would say, give yourself time. It's definitely not something you should rush into doing. Mm-hmm. As long as it doesn't harm anyone else, like, you're not doing anything but fulfilling your mental need fully. But yeah, I mean, one step at a time. Like, for example, I was blurring the lines between being masculine and feminine. Like, a lot of the poses that I do now is not something I would typically put out there. But yeah, I mean, slowly going into, you know, sharing more of my personal self with everyone with the way that I market now has been helpful. So
yeah,
it scratches an itch that I never thought I would scratch.
Yeah. So it's now time for Melanin Magnificence. Who do you give Melanin Magnificence to this week, Derek?
So I want to give Melanin Magnificence to a model of Carterwear. His name is Welton.
Come on, Welton.
Yes.
I follow Welton on Instagram. Yes, I do. I know Welton. He seems lovely. We've not properly met, but
yes,
handsome boy. And yes, he seems lovely.
Yes, yeah, very lovely. He has been one of the first people that we reached out to model for the brand back in 2019. So yeah, he's been around for a while. So, but yeah, such a lovely guy. His body is insane.
Yeah.
He's a model as well. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. I give it to him. He's like the perfect model for it. So. Yeah.
My Melanin Magnificence this week goes out to a young lady by the name of Ramel London. She is a radio presenter, TV presenter, event curator, host. She does so much. And she recently put on her first ever in-person mainstream awards, mainstream media awards. She did it before online, of which I was really humbled to receive the podcast, best podcast of 2023. And this year she did it in person and had like, not auditioning, she had the nominees come, collect their prizes. She had some sponsors. There was food, there was drinks, DJ. It was so good. And I'm not only giving it to her for like creating the event, but her as a person, like she's so successful. She doesn't have all the flowers that she deserves. And she's been on the show and we've spoken about it. And I personally think it's because she's a dark skinned black girl, the whole pretty privilege. You know, we've got girls over here, light skin, blue eyes, but she continues to push through and not only work on her career advancing, but help others to be seen because she understands how hard it is to get support, to have people behind you. And she understands what it's like to be overlooked, like she does. And it's a shame. So for her to create something that is helping other people feel seen, I think that's such a beautiful thing. And she's inspiring so many people whilst trying to do it for herself. And I think is a testament to, you don't have to just not help out people until you've made it. And then you can start giving or like being a gatekeeper to contacts or to anything. Then once you're like absolutely fine, then you can help others. I think there's real camaraderie and respect that comes with someone that is still working and still has the spirit and the heart to help those around them, because that will just make them win faster.
100%.
And so, yeah, big up you, Ramel London, and you are Melanin Magnificence this week. Oh, right. Before we ask you more questions about Carterwear and you and yours, let's get into Miles Measures. So, Beyonce.
Yes.
She released two new songs. Are you a Beyonce fan?
I am.
Okay, good, because otherwise I was about to evict you from the house. But yeah, she released 16 Carriages and Texas Hold'em. Are you a fan?
Of the songs? I want to say yes. They're really well-written songs. I'm not a huge fan of country music, but it's Beyonce, so I'm open-minded.
Yeah. Did you like Daddy Lessons?
I did, for the most part.
Okay.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. It's fine.
I'm not going to buy it.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the people have been mad that she's done it, acting like this was her first time. Well, and I'm like, over 5 years ago, she did country music.
The thing is, she's always done country music.
And she's from Houston, Texas.
And she's achieved so much during her career that now I think she's on a journey where it's like, okay, I want to do things that I really like or that I really want to do. So I could appreciate the art for what it is.
Word of the week, being free. Doing free, what you
want
to do.
Doing what you want. So maybe she's on that journey too, you know? So, but yeah, she's achieved everything.
Yeah.
She doesn't owe anyone anything. So, you know.
And she definitely doesn't owe Azealia Banks anything.
She does not.
Did you see what Azealia Banks said?
I've heard about it, but I didn't see the actual video.
So I watched a little bit of it, but the 32-year-old rapper began in her Instagram story post saying, "I love you down, but them R&B runs over the Leslie Feast backbeats is giving pick Misha. nothing country about it. You're setting yourself to be ridiculed again. There's a theatrical element to country music. Them critics are not going to accept an ugly blonde wig and bullying from Jay-Z. It's giving big time musical grift.
That was pretty nasty.
It was nasty. And I actually think, you know, country music, every genre has its own staples. It has its own elements which make it what it is. And I feel like Beyoncé delivered that. Like, you hear it, everyone knows it's country. But she added her own flair to it, which is what artistry is.
Right.
Which is why I feel like most of the time people get confused with Beyoncé and they say that they don't like it because she's an artist. She's not just your pop. Maybe back in the day when she was doing but now, like, she's really beginning to free up herself and doing things that she likes and being a real artist. And that sometimes can be quite niche and, like, art isn't for everyone. And I fucks with it. It took me a few listens to get into it, but that happened with, like when I first heard, what was the song that she released most recently?
Was it My House?
My House, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is different. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm hearing elements of her from the past, but this is different. And then once I've listened to it 3 or 4 times, I'm like, yeah, no, I fucked with this. Because it takes you somewhere. But yeah, Azealia Banks can... She chats a lot of shit. I like her music. I really like her music. Yeah. But she chats so much shit, bro.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, you know? it really is. Like, she's an incredible talent herself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if she just focused on the music and less on comment on Beyoncé, I think, you know, it's just better for everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she could have kept her opinion.
Are you a fan of Monique? You know, the Parkers?
Yes.
She's been active on... Yes. Recently did an interview. And I don't want to talk about the things that she's speaking about, but one thing that definitely stuck in my mind is that she mentioned a trans woman by the name of T.S. Madison, who I really fuck with hard, and said, you know, she's been... Monique, who's been fighting this fight against, like, Oprah and Tyler Perry being blackballed and all of these things, and so many celebrities know about it, but it... And she said, in her words, it took a trans woman to come forward to back me as their sister. And there's been mixed emotions behind that, and people, like, some of the trans community, we've been saying, well, why did she say it like that? But I actually didn't take any offense. Obviously, I'm not trans, but I didn't view it as something offensive. I felt like, especially in the black community, transgender people don't get a lot of respect. Transgender women, transgender women in general, being killed at such a dangerously scary high rate. So I think what Monique did in that moment was, like, shine a light to say, you know what, this trans woman showed me respect that I've deserved and earned over the years, told the truth and stood with me as my sister. No one else has. So I think she really humanized T.S. Madison and shone a light on the transgender community for once. That wasn't someone's been murdered, someone's done this, but saying, right, you know, this person really helped me when no one else did.
Right, 100%. I think you hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really unfortunate that sometimes things that people say online can get misconstrued.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone has an opinion nowadays. So there's so many things that people can pick and choose what to be outraged about.
Yeah.
That they miss the grand scheme or the bigger message of what's supposed to be taken from it.
Yeah.
So I think that part is a little unfortunate. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, I agree with what Monique said.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, driving the main message of what the overall message should be.
Yeah.
And just kind of drowning out all the other nonsense. Yeah. So,
'cause I feel like we live in a world where some people are just too, quote unquote, woke and can find offense in literally anything. And I think that's where we can start to muddy the waters and not actually make any progress at all.
100%.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did.
What did you think? I've not actually watched any of it, Derek.
So I watched the Usher Bowl, which means I saw the performance.
Yeah.
And then I glanced at the game. It was good overall. I wish that Usher had a little bit more time, even though he had, I think, 17 minutes, which is, like, the longest ever of anyone performing for the Super Bowl.
Why did you wish he had more time? If he had the longest time.
Well, they spent more time showing Taylor Swift, but which is nothing wrong with. But Usher has so many hits.
Yeah.
And there's
no pun intended.
Yeah. and they're timeless. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where I was like, okay, I love the snippet of the song I just heard, but like I want more, you yeah. know? So that was the only kind of downside about it, but it was a great performance. Like, I loved seeing everyone. I know Alicia Keys was a thing for a minute because she kind of came in a little flat on her.
Yeah, she cracked.
She, yeah.
Do you think she can sing, Alicia Keys?
I do.
Well?
I think.
You think she can sing well?
I do think that she can sing well.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
You think she strains?
Well.
And cracks.
So I will say. I will say she's had her moments, like anybody.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've cracked on stage. Hell, yeah.
So, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just she has such a big spotlight directed on her. She's yeah. expected to do everything perfectly every yeah. single time.
I mean, did you see the Beyoncé Super Bowl?
I did.
Speaking of voices, are you aware of the musical Wicked?
I am.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
Okay, well... Have you, in the musical theater world, there's this one particular riff in the song Defying Gravity, which Elphaba, the green one, like the sign, she sings and she goes, bring me down, or so, I can't remember what is it, or something like that. And there's so many videos and compilations of all of these different Elphabas that have sang and come, and they've taken it high and done these trills and runs, and it's been lit. We've got baby girl, Ariana Grande.
Yes.
And sis, Cynthia Erivo, black girl, playing Elphaba, Ariana playing the good witch, Glinda the good. And the promo recently came out for it.
Okay.
And I've seen so many videos of everyone gassing up Cynthia Erivo's note.
Her run.
Her run.
Yes.
Have you heard that?
Yeah. I have not.
I feel the need to... But to, you know, just
while you look it up, you know, Grande is kind of a vocal powerhouse in her own way.
Grande is lit. They didn't really show her on the they didn't really show her singing on the teaser that came out. However, they played. Let me get straight to it. So this is her big.
It's the wizard who should be afraid of me.
Okay.
What are your thoughts just on hearing that little moment?
So you look
blown away.
I am a little, I don't know. I will say, yeah, she's a powerhouse.
Cynthia.
Yes, the girl that sung the run. But yeah, I mean, I really think she kind of took it there. I don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's very... forget what they call it in music. Is it like Fortissimo or something like that? I forgot. Ooh. It's very like full blown, like yeah. she really went for it.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, there's a sound for people who like that. Do I particularly love it?
Not yeah, no. It's giving what's Foghorn's name again? Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah.
Very that. But she, I sometimes feel like she can like do her big one with some. But I personally thought it was really basic.
Yeah.
Especially because that is such an iconic moment in the song, and so many people have done so many things with it. And I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and they were like, oh, but it's a film. It's not the musical. It's a film, so they need to make it more, like, palatable or something. I can't remember what words they said. And I said, well, I saw The Color Purple.
Right.
Which is also a stage adaptation of a musical. And Fantasia didn't give basic.
No, she's amazing.
I think Cynthia Erivo has got a fantastic, phenomenal voice, but I feel like it's getting overhyped
for me.
I'm excited to hear what else she does in the, because we only heard that little snippet.
Right. But I mean, they could be designating her as to be like the breakout star from this musical,
mm-hmm.
because Grande's already the star, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe they're trying to like, you know, just position it for her to like, this is your moment type of a situation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely out there. She's going for it, so.
Yeah, she definitely was. I mean, she sounded great. I'm not shading her. I think she sounds great. I just wasn't blown away. And for such an iconic moment in a song that everyone, like, goes to the show to listen to see what they do, I just expected more.
More, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We got the snippet, but when it comes out, she might absolutely kill it, so.
Exactly. I'm going to go. Are you going to go and see Wicked? You going to go with your bae?
Oh. I'm not a musical kind of guy.
Okay, period. Yeah, to be honest, me neither.
I can do it with a couple glasses of wine, but like...
I mean, I can do a lot of things with a couple glasses of wine, but let's get on to the questions that we've...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Got in from my listeners. I just want to shout out to all the listeners. Thank you so much for sending your questions in. For future guests, we've got some really exciting people coming on. Make sure to email the podcast at contact@getthebeltpod.com or send us a DM. You can even send us a voice note and I'll play it upon my phone on the mic and you can feature on the podcast, ho. But let's get into some of these questions now. We don't have time for all of them because I'm aware you booked and busy, honey. let's go with... Okay, so what's one childhood memory that shaped your passion for fashion and design, and how does it influence your work at Carter Wear today?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say Alexander McQueen's fashion shows. I used to want to go to school for fashion. My mom told me no.
Typical. Do you know where the black comes from? Caribbean, African.
Nigeria. Yeah.
That's why we are looking young. Do you eat Nigerian food?
I don't, no.
Oh, what? Oh, if you got time, I'm going to send you a few spots. I got a bun and soup at home, but I didn't bring it with me shit.
Yes, I'll give it a try. Mm. I think I've had one thing a long time ago, but I can't recall exactly what it was.
Okay.
But yeah, a lot of the kind of passion for where all of this started from was going on YouTube and watching his shows.
Really?
And I stumbled across him. I was just like fascinated by everything he does. And then I learned how to sketch fashion forms. Not many people know this, but yeah, I have all these old like sketches of myself of like garments that I've kind of sketched out. Some of them I was able to bring to life to Carter Wear.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where it literally started from. So
yeah.
Yep, grandmother's a seamstress, so...
Really?
Yeah, she was a seamstress for, like, 30 years.
Oh, my grandma was a seamstress as well.
She taught me how to sew samples, so...
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of ingrained in me at this point, so...
My grandma taught me... Well, my nan taught me how to make leg warmers.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't really be wearing them anymore, but, like, she did her big one.
That's all dope.
Nice times. So as a black gay man in the fashion industry, what challenges have you faced and how have they contributed to your unique perspective in shaping Carter Wear's brand identity?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say some of the challenges that I have faced... I'm trying to think some good ones. So I would say the primary challenge I face, and most small black businesses face this challenge, is just finding capital to grow the business.
I know.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
But that goes to the testament of the support of our Carter Wear customers who allow all of this to happen, for me to be here, for the company to grow. So that's kind of been the primary challenge, you know? You go to a bank with a proposal to request funding and they see, you know, what your product is, you don't always get that yes, you know? So that's kind of the major challenge.
So when you sorry to interrupt, but when you go to the bank and show them the product, what were you more likely to show them? Or were you just lay it all on the table? Or do you feel the need to be like, oh, maybe let's not show them this, let's show them this? Or how do you navigate that?
So I always position the brand as a lifestyle brand, which it is, mm-hmm. you know? Not many people know we make clothing. It's not just all underwear all the time.
Yeah.
But it's all different types. We have everyday, and then we have those like special occasion pieces. So when we present at the bank, you know, we lay out the company in the different sections that we put them in. Lifestyle, yeah. Special occasion, everyday wear. But it's a very competitive market. Mm-hmm. So sometimes banks aren't willing to fund a company that's so similar to others that are out there.
We kind of touched into this when we were having our Instagram live, but yes, there are many underwear brands out there. Many. But I would argue to say that Carterwear is so unique because mm-hmm. I don't know any other underwear brand that has as many black and brown men and women and potentially non-binary people. I can't look at someone and know what they identify as, but you've got many different black and brown bodies mm-hmm. on your campaigns and in your campaigns. Not just that, but also different body sizes. Not everyone is given Welton and rat gym 24/7. Like, you've got larger bodies, smaller bodies, slender men, slender women, henchmen. Like, you've got, mm-hmm. there's real diversity within an already marginalized community. So when you say it's so similar, what other brand is doing that, please?
Well, that...
Except for maybe once a year in Black History Month and then done.
That it by itself is very, like, irritating to me. I've seen many companies, like, flip and just all of a sudden be about, oh, since it's Black History Month, let's, you know... and that's not right.
No.
But that's one of the reasons why I started Carterwear. Not only because, like, I couldn't find certain styles that I really wanted, but... Yeah. I wasn't seen in a lot of the product views or campaigns from companies that I was purchasing for.
Mm-hmm.
And before starting Carterwear, like, I've always kind of modeled underwear on Instagram. So this has been something that, like,
it's so close to me. Model as well.
Yeah, I did my own thing.
Your man's a lucky man with all these, all these degrees and about to be a doctor. You a model and you, come on, Nigerian king.
I'm trying to make a hit before I, you know, while it's still hitting, I need to make a hit, so...
Very true.
Because once the body goes away, you know, I won't be out so front and center as much. Yeah.
I know, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What inspired you to start Carterwear? But like you said, not seeing yourself, and I hear that. And that's really one of the reasons why I loved it, because I just thought, I see me, I see my friends, I see my mm-hmm. community, I feel represented in this brand. And also the colors are fucking lit. Like, I love me a nude. I love me a nude. I think, am I? Okay, no, it's black today, but like, yeah, I love it. So how do you ensure that inclusivity and diversity are reflected in both your designs and marketing strategies at Carterwear?
So we always start by looking at who our customers are. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a very close relationship to a lot of our customers. I always try to make sure that everyone is represented in each piece of the collection that we release. Mm. Whether it's, we don't always release skin tones, but when we do, I make sure that we at least have 5 to 6 colors, which is very expensive for a small business.
Yeah.
But I'm still determined to do it. It's something that needs to be done. And even when it comes to people who are slim, wear a size extra small, or people who are a 4X, like, I always try to make sure that each design that we release is perfect and adjusted to the body type as the sizes change.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those are, like, super duper important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, like, for a customer, a size small is not going to fit the same size as a 2X. So sometimes our 2X designs need bigger bands. Sometimes our smalls need smaller bands, meaning, like, the width of the band, not the actual, like, sizing of it. So, yeah, all of those things I meticulously measure and make sure and send to people. I mean, like, hey, can you try this on? What do you think about this?
Yeah.
Is it uncomfortable? Is it riding? Is it, and whatever feedback that I get back from that, I take, perfect it, and I put it out there. But if it's not perfect, it's not leaving Carterware.
Yeah.
It's not leaving.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
So what made you go into the, you know, jock straps side of things? Because I didn't even know, no shade, I didn't know that you guys did women's wear until I, like, looked deeper and did, you know, my research. But I'd always known Carterware for fine-ass men in jocks with that just made me feel a kind of way on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah?
So I wanted to diversify the product offerings. Like, one of the things I saw when I started the brand, and this makes me gag now, because so much has changed to the point where, so I live in a really quickly, I live in a really suburban neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Kohl's out of all places and I saw jock straps.
What's Kohl's?
Kohl's is a very conservative, like, I'm trying to think of the equivalent. It's a very conservative place to shop. It's like a Macy's.
Do you guys know? Okay, yeah, I've been to Macy's, but we don't have it here. Okay, yeah.
So, like, back in my day, I'm saying it like I'm super old, but about 5 years ago, you would walk into these stores and you would never see those styles, like, ever.
Not even a little Versace one.
No, nothing.
Okay, but
now,
yeah.
You know, times are changing and it opens up the opportunity for small businesses like mine.
Yeah.
But I just had to get that story out of the way because that made me gag. I walked in Kohl's the other day. I was like, oh, y'all got jocks now?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. But yeah, I wanted to show the sexier side of a man. Like, the sexiest thing that we could possibly show on social media is the backside of a man. Everyone likes ass. Everyone likes to see a nice butt.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love it so much. I really do. So thank you for brightening up my timeline.
Yes, you know, I take it to the edge, right to the edge when it comes to the marketing. The women do it, so men should be able to do it too.
You know, you touched on a real good point earlier on in the conversation when you said, like, masculinity and femininity and that merging. And that's a big thing for me. Like, I'm bisexual, but very much into dick as of the last few years. And I'm also verse. And I feel like in my characteristics, I'm not exactly mask. I'm not cis all the time. I'm very much in the middle. And I love that, you know, a jock strap essentially does that because it's for men.
Mm-hmm.
Jock straps aren't for women. They're manly things.
Right.
But what they allow a man's body to then do is be accentuated in ways that other clothing or other underwear doesn't really do. And it just feels and looks.
It looks great.
Fucking great, yeah.
And I always made sure the cuts of our jock straps accentuate the curve of the male, regardless of what size they are. And that's one of the things I think Carterware successfully does, especially with how, like, the back strap lays across your lower back.
Oof.
It makes everything just curve and smooth, and it works, so.
Shit.
That was kind of
the
goal.
Are the bands strong? Because I like to be... Do you test them?
We do. Let's test them.
So do you test it and see if you can get to...
We can. We do the pull grip twist test. So it does. If it doesn't pop...
Do you do it when it's on the model?
No, when it's not on the model. Not on set, at least. But when we're in fittings and we have, like, the mannequins especially, yeah, we stress test, like, every aspect. So everything is, like, double stitched, double enforced. So you can pull, yank.
Do you ever do that?
Anywhere. Do I ever do it? Occasionally.
Okay. Have you ever broken one of the jocks and gone, we need to send this back?
That has happened. We have, well, when I say we, I mean I, but I have canceled entire collections because the stitching isn't right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person that was doing the test ripped the thing off.
Because, yep.
Can you send me their number, please?
I can definitely do that.
I'm joking. I'm in a relationship, a closed one. But anyway, let's...
That's good. You know, everyone's kind of open nowadays.
What are your thoughts on that? Because that was going to be one of my questions, open or closed relationship.
It's a little controversial. I prefer closed.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm old school, though. I'm new school in many ways, but...
Same. Same.
Why do you prefer closed?
Because if I'm going to commit to you, like, I feel like it's no point in being in a relationship if it's open. And that's just mine, like, personal view. because we could just be friends with benefits and, you know, at least we have that like bond and then we both do our own thing. Mm. But like just the traditional side of me speaks like, okay, I don't want to share you and I don't want to be a part of anyone else's thing. Yeah. So like, I feel like it's just best that we keep this special and kind of like close to ourselves. So
I'm very much with you on that. And I'm pride of the LGBTQDL community because they're very much a part of the community as well. Huh? They'll be breaking niggas' hearts and breaking niggas' holes. They're very much part of the community. So I am proud of the community for having this open-minded, experimental, you know, way of living and expressing themselves and showing love and affection. And I don't judge it at all. Mm-hmm. And I know that they're very against, or the majority of them are very against, like, the heteronormatives and things of that nature. But that is one thing about heteronormative ways and standards that resonates with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we're fighting as LGBTQ plus people that, you know, that there's a spectrum, then love is also a spectrum of itself and how you express that and how you, where you live in that spectrum of love. And you, like myself, live in a place where it's one-on-one with a man or a female, and is one-on-one and that's, you know, how we do and we're happy there. And then there's other people on the spectrum who can exist happily in love but with three partners or two or more, or one partner, but, you know, you can suck his dick on Mondays and on Tuesdays I'm fucking his ass and, you know, but we still meet on the Saturday and have date night and we love each other. And I think that's great.
Right.
And I respect it for them. Yes. Love that for them.
Yes.
But for me, it's giving Pandora's box because I'm a Scorpio, I'm jealous, and I don't want to fight.
Same. I mean, I'm a Sagittarius and I don't necessarily care for sharing my partner with someone.
Ain't no.
No, not at all. Now, if we're out the country and it just so happens, you know, we're both on the same page, then that's different. But I think like a consistent...
You could find yourself on that page?
I feel like...
And see and know that your man's about to penetrate another man and slam him and potentially break a jock strap on them. Not a car to wear one, because a car to wear one won't break, but they got a cheap little ASOS one. And
okay, now it's a little hot in
here. See? When you break it down and get to the...
I feel like if we're on the same page and
it won't bother you.
It doesn't bother me as much, mm-hmm. as long as it doesn't happen as often, mm-hmm. it's a one-timer. It's a one and done. But like, I don't want to go to the grocery store and run into the person that we just like one-twoed with.
Yeah.
Like, no, I wouldn't want that.
See, the thing is with me, I've never had something in my life before, like a food, and then I have it once, and then all of a sudden, I need it. More frequently in my diet because I enjoyed it, which makes sense. If you enjoy something, you're going to want more of it. Doesn't take away, like, say if my favorite food is, I don't know, a goosey stew. You must have heard of a goosey stew, right?
No.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk to you about some Nigerian things. But say that's my favorite soup, and then all of a sudden I try, I don't know, a Big Mac.
Yes.
It doesn't take away that a goosey stew is my favorite meal, but now, every now and then, I'm going to be like, oh, I'm craving the taste of that Big Mac again. I don't want my man craving no one else ever. Because I don't want to crave anyone else ever.
I get that. But that's the back to the point to like, we're out the country. So we're never going to run into this person again. Like, this is like a one and done, like.
So you're not open, but you like a jar.
I'll say.
Because you're outside the country now.
I know, I'm outside the country. Oh.
And you're going to the connection party tomorrow.
I am going to the connection party, but it's not quite that kind of party.
It's a pajama party, right?
Yeah, it's a pajama party. By the way, shameless plug, it's a pajama party from 9 p.m. to 3 p.m. So, yeah, I'll be in Carterwear and pajamas and a Carterwear robe, and we're going to have a good time. But I will say, like, we are not open, but... this has never happened, but like if the opportunity was to present itself and we're on the same page and it's a one and done, okay. Mm-hmm. But like,
but the communication needs to be there.
100%.
It's not a case of you do it and then come back and say,
no,
let me know.
No, like we need to be on the same page.
Yeah.
And we need to see if this is something that both of us can mentally handle.
Yeah.
And if you think it's going to jeopardize anything, then let's just not do it.
Again, the openness, I love that.
Yeah, you have to be. I mean, in the LGBTQ plus space period, you have to be open-minded about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I'm not that much of a prude, so, but I am a little traditional, too, so.
Yeah. I mean, you can't be no prude with the Carter Ware
right?
being you know, your company. So, right, let's spill the tea, Derek. Now, has anything ever got out of hand or a bit too steamy on any of your campaign shoots or on any of the provocative shoots that you may have orchestrated or put together? Has anything ever been a bit, ooh, or like, not to say you, but...
Not to the best of my knowledge. Typically on set, there's like a team of people, like stylists and assistants and photographers. So nothing ever kind of gets out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And I always make sure that while there might be a little bit of like sexual tension, because, you know, the guys come and they take off their shirts and everybody's kind of looking.
You couldn't have me on that set. You could not have me on that set. I'll be. He needs more oil. He needs. Don't. I'll do it. I'll do it.
No, I always make sure that like everything goes as smoothly and as professional as possible. And I think I think the last thing on my mind on set is when it comes to getting steamy is because I'm adding up all the money we're spending.
Of course. And you in business mode.
So I'm like, okay, you know.
Yeah. To be fair, if I was there as friend, then yeah, madness. But if I know from being a business owner myself that when you're talking money serious.
Straight to business.
I still might be a little hard, but it's strictly business.
Straight to business. Yeah. So, but yeah, luckily everything's always going pretty smoothly. Mm-hmm. Nothing has ever went left, so.
Well, we love to hear that. We love to hear that. Let's talk about confidence.
Yes.
What's your advice for someone wanting to strut their stuff in some Carter wear? And for them to feel at their most confident self, how do you channel that inner fierceness?
Ooh, so I would say literally just do it. Like what I will say, we have a model who is an amputee, and I wanted him to be a part of my campaign, which he was like a couple of times. And the level of confidence that he exudes is inspirational to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, you know that you're going to inspire a lot of other people who can relate to you when it comes to being an amputee.
Yeah.
Or just being a black gay male. So he has definitely really helped out a lot when it comes to inspiring others. So that's the one thing about confidence that really does help everyone.
Mm.
So the one thing you're afraid to do is always the thing that's the most fruitful and the most inspirational to others. So, yeah, I always say, like, just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Like, you never know who life you're going to positively impact, including your own.
Yeah.
Just growth and, like, freeing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There goes that word again, freeing. So, yeah. I always say, just go for it.
So, I'm going to one more question.
Yes.
And I don't know which one to do. Okay, describe your ideal jockstrap design. Are we talking flashy and bold, or is it sleek and understated? What's your perfect jockstrap?
Ooh, I would say flashy and bold. We've already done sleek and understated and standard, but yeah, flashy and bold is the way to go. I like rhinestones. I like
I'm getting into
sequins.
Rhinestones.
I like it all. So. Yeah, we've done it in the past. We did a Swarovski crystal thong. It was a very limited run, and it did really well.
Is that Have you got that? Have you got? What's the stock saying? Can I? Is it like mates rates?
So,
do you have mates rates in the States?
We don't. No.
Okay. Do you know what that means?
I don't.
Family discount, babes.
Oh, family discount. So, yes, we do have family discounts. We don't do it as often, but it's typically around when we launch a new collection.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, you know, a lot of the people that are on our PR list are like, okay, here's all of our discounts for certain items. But, yeah, we do. So.
And what has been your favorite jockstrap that you've released?
Ooh, I would say the X-Jock. So we have this thing called the X-Jock where the design is literally... in the form of an X in the front, the back.
So how
my phone's over there.
So what happened if you got a big dick? If it is it thin? Thin X, like
No, so it's a thick band and it crosses the entire body.
Right, okay,
and
right.
Then it's a pouch that, you know, you twirl your mans up, put them in there, and then, like, you know, the rest is just kind of out. So it's one of our most risque pieces.
Ooh. Okay. So, yeah. And will that be at the pop-up?
It will. Damn. We have a limited supply of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just for people that haven't, you know, been to the website and know, like, about shipping and stuff, how much does it currently cost you guys to get stuff out to us? Because that's been one of the main reasons why I haven't got anything ever, because I'm like, ooh, this...
Well, I'm working on a strategy for that. But, yeah, it's really expensive, unfortunately, to ship from the U.S. here. Mm-hmm. What we've been doing is charging people a lower rate, depending on, from how I understand how this works, depending on where you are in the U.K., there is a platform that automatically calculates everything for you. I've discounted that 80%.
Oh, wow.
So when someone buys it, we kind of eat that cost just so people outside the country get the experience. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a bitch.
Yeah.
I hate it.
But we hope to see Cartwear in the UK permanently. I would like that.
That's
because we don't. I don't think we don't have a black-owned underwear business that... We don't have a black-owned underwear business, let alone black... gay-owned business that delivers such good products.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. But, you know, hopefully, if everything aligns and it's in God's plans, then, you know, please. I'll be flying.
I know my God wants us in jock straps. That's I know he does.
Yes.
I know he does. Right. this is a fun question, actually, and then we will move on. So what is the most embarrassing underwear-related mishap you have ever had?
Oh, that's a good one. So it wasn't Carterwear. This was before the brand. I won't name the brand, but I wore a thong to the gym.
Ooh.
Wore a thong to the gym, and this is when I was trying to get my lower body to match my upper body. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to use a sweat machine. I remember I had a thong on and I had compression pants on.
Lit, yeah.
Long story short, I went down on the sweat machine. I fully squat. And not only did the compression pants ripped, but the thong popped. So I am in the lowest position on the sweat bar in the gym and everything just suddenly opens up. I'm like... Oh my God. Safe to say, I've never been to that gym since.
Did people notice?
Oh yeah. It was 5:00 PM, which means everyone just got off of work.
Yeah.
Everybody's in the gym. And I'm like, oh shit. This just not just happened. It's just
oh,
so
no.
crazy.
What did you do?
I literally left everything weighted on the bench and I ran to the locker room. Like, absolutely ran, changed into sweatpants and went home. Like, I have not been to that gym since.
Have you worn a thong to the gym since?
I have, Carter.
I know, that's right. Yeah, has that shit split?
It has not split. It's not split, so.
Yes. Do you wear, like, thongs and, like, jocks to the gym a lot?
I do. It all depends on the day. Like...
Leg day?
Leg day.
Yeah.
Always good. I'm not a fan of other people in the gym seeing what type of underwear I have on. But
okay.
I wear it for, like, comfort. It's easier to squat. You can squat deeper because you have nothing holding
inhibition.
You back.
Yeah.
So.
Comfort, yes. I really, when I go to the gym, if I feel sexy, if I feel good, I work out better. So, like, you might find it weird, but I shower before I go to the gym.
Same.
I do my hair. So, when I go there, I feel like I look the part, and I feel like I perform better. It's like if I'm on stage, like, I'm not going to go on stage looking like a mess. I mean, I'll probably still eat, but if I look the part, I feel like what you put on your body does have an effect on how you... carry yourself. And I know when it's leg day and I got on my squat on my thong,
yeah,
I'm squatting lower than I would do if I was in a Calvin Klein brief, sis. Okay?
So what's your preferred style? Are you a thong kind of guy? Like, if you had to choose.
Oh, it's so... It depends on... But are we talking about the gym or in the bedroom or day to day? Because I can answer all three.
Well, yeah. I'm kind of curious about all three.
Okay. In the gym, I like a jock.
Okay.
Because, you know, it lifts everything. A thong doesn't lift it, not that I need lifting, but it does help. Mm-hmm. And I feel that lift and I do feel that support. Mm-hmm. So not only do I feel sexy, I do feel supported. So I like that. Yeah, it accentuates the things. If I'm wearing the compression shorts, I love that too. In the bedroom, ooh, like I said, I'm verse. So there's something really nice about having a thong on and my man slicking it to the side and getting right on that hole and moving it to the side and just getting to work. But then I also like being able to grab the jock and the way it looks at the jock. And if I'm topping, I love... Have I ever fucked anyone in a thong? No. I've only ever been fucked in a thong, but I would love to fuck someone in a thong.
I mean, it's
but
a vibe.
Jocks, yeah.
It's a vibe.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to enjoy it when it's their turn, honey. But, like, I love fucking with a jock, too, because it's you can, like, hold it and do that. But what's the preference? I think I prefer fucking someone in a jock, and I like to be fucked in a thong. I think, okay. Yeah, that's a bit of me.
Okay, okay. So what about everyday wear?
Everyday wear? Do you know what? I'm such a briefs guy. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you call, I don't know what special occasions is in cardwear. Is it jocks?
No. So we have like G-strings. We have anything mesh we consider like special occasions.
Okay.
We have a backless brief, which is just like the whole butt is out. Because I went on Twitter and I was like, okay, people are like, you know, they're performing in cardwear. They're fucking in cardwear.
Okay, you could swear on this podcast. It's like getting out, honey.
So I noticed, like, people were ripping the backs of the briefs to, like, make the... So I was like, okay.
How did that make you feel, them seeing them rip your product? Well, were you into it?
Pissed at first. Because I feel like my products are my babies. And we spend so much extra money on good fabric. I'm like, y'all are ripping this good fabric?
Well, if they're using them in their shorts, they're going to be a repeat customer.
Oh, my God. But still, it's like your child. And you see it, and it's ripped. But, yeah, you know.
Have you ever been mid-wank watching this stuff, and then you see it being ripped, and then you're like, ooh.
Yes, because I'm like, what? We've sacrificed them to get this fabric.
And especially if it was a UK OnlyFans person. That means you would have had to spend all the money on the shipping for them to go and rook up the thing.
I'm like, no. So, okay, problem solved. We'll do backless briefs.
Okay.
So we did that in mesh and also cotton, and people love it. So I'm like, okay, now you don't have to rip it. It's already made that way. So, yeah.
Yeah, for me, every day, it's generally a brief. And I like the thin. I'm short. I'm 5'9".
Okay.
And I'm thick as well. And so boxers cut my legs short. They don't give me that length. Whereas anything that comes, the higher it goes, it creates that illusion of the long leg that I don't have. Mm-hmm. And that's the only part of my body I need to create the illusion for. The rest that looks long is. Okay? But I like that on a day-to-day. It makes me feel like my legs are longer. It just makes me feel and look sexier, in my opinion. I do like a boxer, but when I'm chilling. When I'm cool, when I don't feel like I need to, when I'm just comfortable. Mm-hmm. But there are days where I will wear like a jock, like underneath, or a thong underneath my outfits. Very rare, but it's when I feel like I need to be a bit more bossy, or if I'm feeling a little bit low, or feeling, you know, not feeling that desirable, I'll do something underneath and no one needs to know. I just need to know. And it just makes me feel like, yeah, I'm that girl.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of underwear. Like, if you're feeling down or if it's a special occasion or anything, like, it can lift your mood. It's literally the foundation of your day. Like,
yeah.
I feel like if I have an uncomfortable pair, like, my day is not as great because I'm always adjusting. So, like, no, I intently made sure that every single pair that we wear is comfortable. It's stretch. It's super soft. It's good fabric. All that stuff matters.
Well, I can't wait to get me in one of them. Like, yes. I said, I want to be in a campaign.
Yeah, listen.
This ass.
When I call you up.
Listen, I'm unemployed right now in terms of, like, shows. So I'll get on a plane and we can shoot. The fuck? I'll get on a plane. I got Avios.
I'll call you up. So me and Walton's on our way. We're going to do this campaign.
Period. I'm there. Right, let's get into Get the Belt. Thank you so much for answering all the questions.
Yes.
Sorry if we didn't relate your question. We'd been here 12 years a slave otherwise, but thank you for sending them in nonetheless. So it's time for Get the Belt. Yes. Who do you give your belt to this week, Derek?
Ooh, that's a good one. So I would... Oh, God. Here we go. I would get the belt for Krishan.
Ooh, okay. Go on. Go on.
I know.
I should have spoken about baddies or something like that in Mars Measures next week. Okay. I think I know what you're about to say, maybe.
I want to be careful with what I say.
It's fine.
But with social media, I feel like a lot of this is amplified.
Mm-hmm.
But as a young lady with a platform, I feel as though she can do a little bit better with sharing aspects of her life, because all of her actions, I will say, are not the best.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they shine a light on, like, people of color that are not necessarily the best light.
Yeah.
And especially when it's for people who are younger, like younger girls, they need to know, like, okay, this is not the way, you know, you should necessarily go about things in life.
Yeah.
It's not okay. So, yeah, I feel a little, she definitely does, you know, to get the belt, because she needs a little, like... spanking and guidance.
Yeah.
Guidance, for
What's
sure.
What's funny is that host stays fighting as well online. She needs a real thumping down. But, no, yeah. I find her really funny, and I definitely find it entertaining.
Yeah.
But I think when you're putting out too much of the same stuff, and your platform is so big, and you're aware of, you know, the dynamics and the social structures and the powers and the disparities between, you know, Black people, then you need to have way more responsibility with the content that you're putting out. Be trash, but not all the time. There needs to be a journey. There needs to be a growth, and you need to do something different. And maybe every now and then go back to that if it's getting you a coin. I'm not going to doubt it. But when it's consistently that, and you can see the effects that it's having on people, and we live in a day and age where we're still, you know, fighting stereotypes that haven't shifted, ask yourself, am I helping?
You're right, exactly. And it's one of those things where that's hits the nail on the head. It's not necessarily helping. It's kind of driving a narrative.
Mm.
And like I said, unfortunately, this is something that travels quick on social media because it's clickbait.
Yeah.
And it's the extreme. People like the extremes on social media.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm, you know, praying for her, hoping she gets it together, whatever that looks like for her. Because everyone has this journey in life, and, you know, it's not perfect. So hopefully this is something that turns out to be a really positive, like, ending for her. So,
yeah.
We'll see. But that's it. That's been on my timeline a lot. So I'm like, okay, muted it on Twitter. But on Instagram, it's constantly on my feed.
Sure,
I'm like, okay, this young lady needs some help. So, yeah.
Damn.
So that's it.
So my belt this week goes to Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. Now, he made a joke where transgender women were the punchline of it, and he did this he did it in the Houses of Parliament, where the mother of a recently murdered transgender girl, Brianna Jai, was present. And I just thought it was so uncalled for. It was so irresponsible, especially in a time where recently, just this week, we've had another young trans girl that was nearly killed because she was stabbed in London so many times.
Mm.
And we've got our Prime Minister making jokes where, you know, minorities and specifically trans people are the pun of a joke. I think he needs to get the belt for doing shit like this, especially when, you know, it's not an uncommon, or it's not exactly not mainstream right now. Like the activists, the people in the community are very loudly expressing how much transgender people need support and need protection, and that they're being killed, not just in the UK, but in America too, at a disgusting rate. So to have people and the head of our government making mockeries and jokes about this community specifically, with a mother sat just over there whose transgender daughter was just murdered, it just makes total sense that our country is in the shape it is now, when we've got dickheads like that with his dick suckers saying the things that he's saying in those spaces. And if he's saying things like that on camera,
yeah,
at work,
yeah,
what the fuck are you saying at home?
Yeah, that's not cool.
It's not cool. And people need to stop ignoring this, because if he can say that about that community, he can say anything about anything.
For sure.
It's, and yeah, not only is it unwarranted and dangerous, it has a knock-on effect to what people feel they can and can't do. Mm-hmm. And if you're saying things like that, it just makes the lives of transgender people far more scary and far more dangerous. And so, yeah, I'm giving him the belt. It's not the first time. It probably won't be the fucking last time I give him the belt. But yeah, he needs to fucking back up his ideas. People need to stop voting for dickheads like that. Mm. Because, like, if that was anyone else in any other job, fired.
Yeah, 100%. It's just reckless. I haven't heard what he said, but what you're describing, it's really reckless.
Yeah.
It's a lack of empathy.
And these are the people running England right now.
Unfortunately, with a lot of politicians, it's become the new norm. Mm. So I don't know how we kind of went backwards globally when it comes to stuff like this. Mm. But yeah, I agree. Like, trans people, they are not in the best place when it comes to being protected.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate and it's really sad. And I'm hoping something changes.
Yeah, there was an outrage and people asked him to apologize, and I don't think he did. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think he did, and I think he needs to, because it's just setting a precedent where people will feel entitled to also make jokes about transgender people, and that's not okay. Because at one point, Rishi Sunak, Asian people, South Asians, Indian people, Pakis were the pun of jokes. How did that make you or your mum feel? When it was your race, that marginalized community, when we were the pun of a joke, how was that? It's just giving dumb as fuck. You can suck my dick. Don't even suck my dick. Look, a sour puss. Yeah, you don't deserve to suck this dick.
Not a sour puss.
A sour puss. Well, we've come to the end of the episode.
Yes.
I would like to say thank you so much. Don't you be reading these questions. I can see your eyes, sneakily. Yeah, I can see your eye. Because we've got a little game that we're going to play before we head out. Before we do play the game, though, can you please leave your socials on this mic where people can go and follow you?
Sure, sure.
And I'll put it in the description of the episode as well.
Okay. So our socials, it's at Carterware on Instagram. It is at Carterware19 on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We are on the TikTok. We're TikToking and bopping. A little, yes, you know, jiggling on there.
Ooh, it gets me horny. That's the thing. I then want to spend money and then want to fuck. Like, the marketing is genius.
Thank you. Yeah, and we're just at Carterware on Facebook. So, of course, our website, www.carterware.com. That's pretty much it.
Perfect. Right, so this game, yeah, there's no thinking.
Okay.
Derek, you can't think.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, go. Like, you've really got to be on it.
I'm going to turn it off.
Okay?
Okay.
Fast, right.
Okay.
There's 15 questions.
Ooh.
You've just got to go straight away.
A little anxiety, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Right. Are you ready, babes?
I think so.
Okay. If your underwear could talk, what would it say about you in 3 words?
Ooh, sexy. Wait, I'm thinking.
I said, don't think. What's coming to your mind? 3 words about you. What are they saying?
Sexy. I would say, okay, it's underwear. Sexy, sweaty, fun.
Ooh, boxers, briefs, jock, thong, or commando?
Jock.
Open or closed relationship?
Closed.
Underwear, silky smooth, or snug and supportive?
Silky smooth.
Top, bottom, or verse?
Verse.
Nicki Minaj or Megan Thee Stallion?
Ooh, Nicki.
Pick one word to sum up your next coming up. Pick one word to sum up your coming out experience.
Hectic.
Lace, satin, or leather?
Leather.
Have you ever accidentally worn your underwear inside out all day?
Yes.
Lights on or off?
off.
Random thing in your underwear drawer.
Lube.
What's your favorite black LGBTQ anthem?
Ooh. Anything with Gaga.
Oh, yeah. Describe your ideal pride parade outfit in one word.
A singlet.
If you could choose one word to represent your dream LGBTQ plus vacation destination, what would it be?
Ooh, thinking. I would say Tulum.
Wet or dry?
Wet.
Spit or swallow?
Ooh, spit.
That has been Derek. Everybody, give it up for Derek. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was such a pleasure to get to know you, get your energy. I fucking loved it. And sharing all of what you've shared with us today, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Of course, anytime. Guys, tune in to next week's episode. We've got another special guest coming for you. Make sure you follow Derek and all of the socials. You probably would have missed the pop-up. If you haven't, get down to the pop-up. If this comes out on Saturday morning, which I can really try and get it out. But yeah, thank you again, Derek, for coming on. Make sure you guys send in your questions. Is there anything else you want to say before we jump out the studio, Derek?
Thank you for having me again. And
of course, man.
I appreciate the support of everyone for Carterwear. And I can't wait to you guys see what I have coming next.
Yes. Well, thank you again. I'm your host, Miles Hart, and you've been listening to the podcast that is known of Home of Melanin Magnificence and Kingdom of Belts. This has been Get the Belt.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.